All right. Well, hey, we want to welcome you all in to another episode of the Since You Asked podcast. Back from a one-week break, I'm here with my co-host, the main man, actually. I'm the co-host.
No.
Ben Farley here. We're How you doing, Ben?
I'm good. We're a team. This is 50-50 partnership, man.
Well, it's good to know. Well, I appreciate the week off. We weren't really sure what to do and had some surgery, and I couldn't really sit last week, and we're like, what do we do?
It would have been really awkward to look at you up here as we're working through this. So, yeah. Actually, we did have some people ask, like, where's the podcast? So that's always nice to know you're missed when you're not when you're not to your regular routine. But we're back, and glad you guys are with us today.
Absolutely. So. It's a great day. We're recording this, I think, on the day it's going to be released, 9/11. So yes. It's a serious day.
It is, yes.
And so, of course, our thoughts, our prayers go out to the families that were affected.
23 years.
It's amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I was a senior in high school, first period. I know it was in the computer lab. I think it was Miss Hagemeyer was my teacher. And I don't remember what the specific class was, but senior year, first period. And they came in, and teacher next door, Mrs. Friels, came in and said, there's plane that crashed into one of the towers in one of the buildings in New York. I'm like, whoa. They're like, you got to turn the TV on. Something's going on. And so we were watching it when second plane hit.
Yeah.
And that's when, I mean, you kind of, everything just goes blurry.
It went haywire there.
Yeah. Because you know, like, okay, this was not an accident.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't just a freak occurrence.
Yep.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a 17-year-old kid, my mind starts going nuts about, okay, I mean, we're probably going to be in war.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get drafted.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah,
I'm not signing up. I'm not that kind of person. Like, I'm not a armed force. I'm thankful for our troops.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that. It's not my demeanor.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm going to get drafted. I'm going to go off to war. And I'm thankful that it didn't get to that point, and thankful for those that went and served. But yeah, it's just one of those moments that just sticks out in your brain.
Yep.
I mean, it's Pearl Harbor for our generation. It's just different moments. I think of, I was alive, but don't remember, you know, when Reagan was shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's different things that come out. I mean, I do think that Trump's attempted assassination is going to kind of be one of those moments, but 9/11 is just next level.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Pearl Harbor. It's our country under attack.
Yeah. It was, I was a seventh grader at that time, and I was in Mr. Barnfield's math class, and Mr. Keck, our social studies teacher, comes in and says, same thing, like, hey, planes hit tower, you need to turn on the TV. And, I just remember, like, you lose some blissful ignorance of the world at that age. I remember some buddies and I got on our bikes after school and we're riding around, and the gas lines at the gas stations were like a mile long. I mean, down the highway, it was crazy. But it is interesting how, like, for us, that is ingrained in our minds, and you'll forever remember where you were. But like, my daughter this morning was talking about it, and she's 10 or almost 10. And, she said, like, she was almost excited that they were going to celebrate September 11th today.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, hang on. This isn't a celebration today. Like, it's a remembrance. And so we had to sit her down and explain to her, like, hey, this was a really dark day. And so, and it's kind of for us with Pearl Harbor, we know it was a dark day, but we didn't experience it. But for those people, it's ingrained in their minds. So,
well, and I think as a kid, you just kind of go to those, and you're like, oh, wow, you know, it's going to be, school's going to be a little different today.
Yeah,
They're going to do something different. It's kind of fun. And, you know, even for Veterans Day, Memorial Day, you know, where it's not Veterans Day, Memorial Day, where you get the long weekend. It's like, yeah, this isn't just a party.
Yeah.
You know, this is a time to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Yep.
And absolutely. So, yeah, it's a heavy day. And so, you know, they say we would never forget. We certainly haven't.
No.
It's one of those things we never will. It's almost impossible.
Burned into your mind.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's almost, if someone could just snap their fingers and you'd forget.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful.
It'd be wonderful, but you can't.
But so. You can't. So.
It's a little inside joke of what happened before the show. So that doesn't, if you don't understand that, don't worry. I get it. So, well, hey, we're doing a coffee review, Alex, and this was my choice today.
Yeah.
This will be a fun one. Now, I will say, this is the best designed packaging.
Yeah, we know your love for yellow canisters.
Yes, I love the can. Like, it's gonna make its way onto my shelf.
I got it. Yeah.
So we've got Café du Monde. Are you familiar with Café du Monde?
Only from you.
Okay, so Café du Monde comes from New Orleans, and this Café du Monde is famous for their beignets. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Donuts.
Yeah.
They probably, New Orleans people would get upset for me calling them donuts, but their version of that with powdered sugar, and you drink the coffee, Café au lait. Is what you drink with it. This is the coffee. Now this is a different blend. So this is part coffee and part chicory root. So score is going to be a little skewed, and I get that. So I want to do this two ways. And I know we might not even put this on the scale. It's fine, but we're going to drink it black just so we can do that as we've done with everything. Mm-hmm. It's the control. But then we're going to drink it the way it's supposed to be.
Okay.
So we'll drink it black. Then we've got some sweetened milk that we can add to it, and we'll see how that is.
Okay. We're going to need Jonathan to put that. I mean, this is a cool can.
It is a cool can.
You talked about it. It's got the nasty-looking mustard yellow. It's got... And then every writing on it is like... brown.
Oh yeah. Tan. I love it. It looks
but it has
like,
the picture of the Café du Monde, yeah. And
it looks like a can I would have found in my grandma's house. Like,
yeah, I expected nails to be in there when I opened it up.
Well, eventually, give me a couple of years, it'll be in my garage with some nails and screws in it. Okay. Café du Monde. We're gonna drink it black first.
Okay.
We've already heard Jonathan's review before the show.
Yeah, let me just say, I mean, oftentimes we'll talk about the smell, the appearance. I mean, mm-hmm. when I poured this into my cup, you know, usually there's some bubbles that, you know, air bubbles that kind of come up, and they'll have a white exterior. You just, they look normal.
Yeah.
These were, I mean, they matched the color of the can. I mean, the air bubbles were yellow. And I'm like, oh boy.
That's the chicory root. That's how you know it's good.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
The coffee smells like coffee, but this smells different.
Something happens when you brew it.
Doesn't smell magical.
All right, one sip. Everybody knows the rules. Here we go. Oh, that's awful. Oh.
I expected worse, honestly. Okay. After hearing Jonathan's... As I cough.
Yeah, go ahead.
after hearing Jonathan taste it off, you know, where we couldn't see him, and then you're, oh, I expected worse.
Yeah.
But that's not good.
My grandpa used to have a saying that certain things would put hair on your chest. I think this is one of those. It's not good.
No.
And now, to be fair, I want to be fair in this. This is not how it's prescribed to be drank.
Sure.
So this is just it on its own. No bueno.
No.
I am going... I mean, it's got to be... To me, it's got to be the low score. Because of the can, 2.7.
Oh, wow.
It's bad.
Okay. I thought I was going to go low.
Where are we going?
3.0.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's very bad. But
what
like
is
I said,
chicory?
I expected...
Can you look up what chicory even is? I know it's a root... but I don't know what it actually is.
It's a somewhat woody, perennial herbaceous plant of the family Asteraceae.
That makes sense.
Butchered that. Usually with a bright blue flower, rarely white or pink. Native to Europe, it has been introduced to the Americas and Australia.
Mm.
Many varieties are cultivated for salad leaves, chicones, or blanched buds, or roots. Which are baked, ground, and used as a coffee substitute and food additive.
Okay, well there we go. This is what we're...
I don't know why I read it like
that's
that.
What we're tasting. Okay, so let's give a proper review to this. Yeah. So you went 3-0, just black. Now we've got some sweetened milk. And you know, this is, I am opposed to this.
Yeah.
I have a moral opposition to sweet coffee, but it's the way it was prescribed to be drank. So here we go. I mean, it's better. Yeah, I get why that's prescribed that way.
It's better, but not.
It's not good.
Marginally better.
No. I'd bump it up to a 4 with the milk and sugar. And maybe we're not even drinking this right. I don't know. So if you're from New Orleans and you're very offended by our treatment of Café du Monde, like, correct us. We're not above reproach here. Let us know. How are we supposed to be drinking this? Are we doing something wrong?
Yeah.
You have to have beignets with it. And it really, I mean, makes a beignet
would
thing.
Definitely help. If it were me, I would just dump this in the trash and I'd throw nails in that canister right away. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't take me a couple of years.
Yeah, I won't be drinking. I won't be utilizing all the coffee in that can. I can tell you that.
No. But. You know, we need to ask. We need to reach out to our old buddy, Brian Hamilton, former senior minister here. He lived over in the New Orleans area for a while, and who knows? He might be a huge Café du Monde fan.
Yeah, maybe drinking it right now.
He could be. Could be.
Well, not great.
No, not great. So thank you for that. That is the new low score, 2.9.
Yeah. Somebody had to be.
It doesn't really need to be said, but it's no Squirrely Joe's.
It is no Squirrely Joe's. Actually, I have breaking news for you.
Oh, my.
That I just found out last night. Squirrely Joe's is now being sold at one of our favorite places, Eckleberry Barber Company.
Really?
They are now a wholesaler of Squirrely Joe's. And you know who brought this about? Since you asked.
Really?
The Since You Asked guys sparked something, and we recommended it to the Eckleberries. They are now a wholesaler of Squirrely Joe's.
You love to hear it.
You do love to hear it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So now I know where to go to get my Squirrely Joe fix.
Yeah, and we're excited about that.
And our viewers as well. They're saying, yeah, I really want to try this out. And I've had some people asking me here at church. And you know, when I'm on the streets, people stop me. They're like, hey,
well, yeah,
you're the handsome one from the CBS podcast. Where can I get some Squirrely Joe's? And I say, you're thinking of Ben, but I'll help you out here. But now I can tell them.
You can
go straight to Eckleberry Barbershop in Flora, Illinois. That's excellent news.
I'm excited about that partnership.
Yeah, absolutely.
It goes without saying we are expecting a finder's fee. I think that goes without saying.
I think we got the finder's fee up front.
Oh, we did get coffee. That's true.
He sent us a lot of coffee.
Okay,
we're very appreciative.
Yes, we are. It's been delightful. Much better than Café du Monde.
We're still working through it. In fact,
we are. Yes.
We're at that awkwardness of we got to save this for the podcast. You want your first taste to be on record, but we're going to have to start recording every day.
Yeah.
And just get ahead.
Yeah.
So, okay, we've talked about this awful coffee for long enough. Ben, what's our question today?
So the question today is a really good question. And it's built around something that is very, very prevalent, especially in the evangelical, the Protestant church today. This particular listener has asked us about our take on altar calls. Are they biblical? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a phenomenal question. I appreciate the heart behind it, wondering, like, how do I approach this? And so I want to say up front, we always have to get to the heart of the matter. Anything good can be abused by sinful men and women.
Yeah.
And so I want to say that up front. But I do have some thoughts on this. I think the Bible speaks to the way that it's been abused some. And so I want to dive into it. Not going to be a long topic today, but just to give a concise answer as to, hey, how do we as pastors at Redbrush Christian Church, how do we view the altar call?
Yeah, and I'm not sure who asked this question. If you attend Redbrush, the altar call, the post sermon invitation time, it's something that we don't do as much as we did, and so I know some people have asked about that. I think it's and so just to kind of start getting into the question, mm-hmm. It's not something that you necessarily find in the Bible directly.
Yeah.
And so it's something that we have felt the liberty to decide when is the appropriate mm-hmm. time to use it, when is not.
Yeah.
You know, this past week, Ron preached, mm-hmm. kicked off our giving capital campaign mm-hmm. for a new building. And it was a wonderful message. It's not necessarily evangelistic in the sense that you're presenting the gospel, you know, full-fledged. Right. And so it would feel shoehorned to then get up and say, now that we've talked about, you know, building campaigns and what God has done and all the amazing things, I mean, feels awkward and clunky to then say, you know, if you want to make that decision. Interestingly enough, we did have someone who came in between services and said, I think I'm ready.
Well, and I think that is a perfect segue into kind of how I feel about those. You and I have talked, and this is, I don't want to say this is always correct, but it's my personal preference. I don't like to feel like I am emotionally manipulating people. And so if I, you know, I want to preach with all the conviction and all the energy that I can, but I don't want the energy or the you know, if Jonathan's playing behind me or something, I don't want the music to draw the emotions and that be the reason why somebody would come forward. I want the gospel message to be the thing that they're responding to. And so it was so cool that this week, Ron, you know, preached on building campaign. And then between services, I had a young woman come find me and say, hey, I'm ready to, I've trusted in Christ and I'm ready to be baptized mm-hmm. this week. So we get to do that Sunday, which is awesome. So it goes to my point. We are simply entrusted as ministers and really all believers to preach the gospel, to communicate the gospel. However, it is the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel that transforms a heart. And so, you know, I look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and here's what Paul writes. He says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. There's not a prescriptive come forward, mm-hmm. pray the sinner's prayer, which we'll get into that in just a moment. But it's not this process. It's respond to the gospel, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you'll be saved. And then the response on the other side of that is to be baptized, to declare to the congregation or to the people that you believe in Christ and you're being baptized into his death and raised to life with his resurrection. But I do take issue with the need for, okay, let's turn the lights down low. Let's play the most emotional music we can. And there are some people who would say, man, I really felt the Spirit in those moments. And I've said this before when we've had personal conversations. The emotions that you have in a moment are not an indication of the presence or the absence of the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes, especially in the evangelical church, we try to build up this feeling. And then, honestly, we kind of try to manipulate them into making a response.
Yeah.
Whereas, you don't need me for that. Like my job is to preach the gospel. My job is to extend that invitation to you, not just to come to me, but to come to Christ. Like, that's the invitation I'm laying before you.
Right.
And so, you know, the question is would churches see the same amount of converts, and I use that loosely, would they see the same amount of converts if the lights were turned all the way up and the music was ceased? Like, would they be able to just rely on the power of the gospel to transform hearts? Now, mm-hmm. I'll let you add your thoughts in, then I'll add something else there.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I think one of the things that you just clarified is important. It's not that we're against emotions.
Yeah,
we don't want to rely on our emotions. But the thing is, we don't want to manipulate people's emotions.
Right.
We don't want to try and manipulate in a way that to where if we just extend this song out in a certain way and we played it just this right mm-hmm. time. First off, it's not on us. It's not.
Right.
It's the work of the Holy Spirit, as you said. It's God will do the work.
Yes.
We have to be obedient into that. And I was looking up, kind of doing some research on this before we got started over the last few days. And the idea of an altar call or a what we call them invitation times and things like that, it's not found in the Bible. And it actually kind of goes back to the 1800s and the 17th century. And you had people like Charles Finney who were doing revivals, going around preaching. And Charles Finney had something they called the anxious bench. Mm-hmm. He would call people, you know, who were not Christians. He wanted them to come up and sit in that front area and pray. And there was, he was trying to, he wanted them really to have that. And I can't judge his heart. He wanted them to experience God and even giving him the full benefit. I mean, his intention was to have people come to know Christ.
Yeah.
But this all kind of came about. It was good timing with this question. I had a friend who's a minister in Mount Vernon, Jake Austin. He posted this about Charles Finney. And, it's, you know, the evangelist Charles Finney, known for creating the invitational system, changed how music was sung in church. Music was no longer in praise of God, but a means to draw individuals to the front to make public professions.
Yeah.
This model has become the predominant means of worship in the church today.
Wow.
And
that's a big distinction between those two things too.
Yes. Yeah. And again, having an altar call isn't wrong or bad, but the point that this, and this is a post that he shared, it wasn't his direct thoughts, but it goes on to, our worship should be in reverence to God. It should be attributed to him, not a means of manipulation, not a means of if we play it this way and we can have this transition in our service. And those are conversations that we have.
Yeah.
About, okay, how do we do this properly? And how do we make it to where it's seamless and things are flow well within our service? Because we want a nice service to flow well. We want things to run well.
We want to honor God with our efforts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we do talk about, we don't want to manipulate people. We don't want to try and stir up this. We know that if a person is being led by the Holy Spirit, they're gonna come up. And I think, like you said, this past Sunday was a great example.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful message, but not a gospel, like, here is, you are a sinner, and Jesus died for you, and you need to come forward and accept him.
Yeah.
But the lady sought you out and said, I'm ready. I've been reading in my Bible, and I've been learning and growing, and I see that my next step of faith, and it's not like we don't preach those things.
That's right.
That's a regular.
It was a one-off that it wasn't presented, but most of the time it is. But yeah, it was just the evidence that God has been working on her heart over the last several months.
Yes.
And she has come through preaching, but even more so through the word. She's like, this is what I got to do. And it's like, man, that is it. That is it.
Yeah. We forget sometimes that God's word is enough. He says that his word doesn't return void. And so we can trust in that. But, you know, Paul also says, you know, that there's a call for some of us to preach. Yeah. Because how can people hear if there's no one to preach? And how can they accept if no one is there to preach to them? That's and so the call is on us that who have been called by God to preach. But ultimately the power rests in God and in his word.
Yep. That's absolutely true. I think, you know, Charles Finney's model, if you will, has really led to a change in how we view success in the church. Because when I'll follow different churches on social media, and you'll see, we had 37 salvations today at church, and okay, great,
yeah,
great. I wasn't there, so I have no knowledge of that. But I do watch some of these, and it's the, you know, bow your head, close your eyes, raise your hand if you want to accept Christ, and boom, okay, 37 today. That's it becomes a measure of success. My question is, and I'm not trying to just pick on that as a whole, but it's then to say, then what happens after that? Like, where's the discipleship element come in after that? Because if you're viewing people as a metric. You know, there's a hand raised. That's a win for today. Mm-hmm. And then go home and do your own thing. Like, no, the church is called to come alongside those people and walk with them because it's not easy.
Yeah.
And so I do think that Finney's model has sometimes removed the necessity of discipleship in the church. We view success as how many hands were raised or how many people came to the front and kneeled at the, you know, it's funny, we call them altar calls. There's not an altar there, kneeled right. at the steps.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, and we view that as the success in the church. No, it's. I mean, yes, you want people transformed from
Absolutely.
Death to life by the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
But a hand raised without a follow-up and walked alongside them throughout life, I have a hard time seeing that as success. I want our church to, you know, this young woman that's going to be baptized Sunday. I want us to then, hey, let's connect you with somebody in the church or, you know, as pastors, like, we will walk alongside you. Mm-hmm. We will get you connected to people that are going to help further this walk of sanctification and because you need people. Sometimes it becomes very shallow when the highest success point in the church is not a life well lived, it's a hand raised in a moment or an emotional response that we don't follow up on. I think it's really dangerous.
And not even just a hand raise. I mean, even a person baptized into the waters and yeah. then never seen again.
That's right.
I mean,
yeah.
Even person taking that step.
Yep.
And we understand it is a journey and you know, we want people to be consistent and faithful, but we also understand that there is a spiritual attack that mm-hmm. happens when we accept Christ. I mean, that's the yeah. last thing that Satan wants, and so he's going to do things to try and throw us off and make us feel hey, remember when you were baptized and now you're still doing that one thing that are you even worthy to go back to church? And he's going to do things to
sure.
and so. We're understanding of that, but come back, come and don't be that person who is baptized and then is never seen again. Yeah,
yeah.
There's a life within the Christian faith, within the church that we're all called to. We talked about it a few weeks ago with the episode that we did on being a, my role in the church.
Oh yeah.
And the different, and we're going to preach on it here in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There is a life that God has called us to in community within the church that we don't want people to miss out on. Not because it's a metric in our system and we can grow our church and do this and that. No, because it's what's best for us. It's what God is calling us to.
Yep.
Now, one of the things you mentioned, and maybe this is kind of where we'll start to wrap up, but you had mentioned we talked about it earlier, you kind of referenced it a second ago, but sinner's prayer, let's kind of discuss that for a moment.
Yeah. I think, again, it goes back to the heart behind it. I truly believe that there are people who have genuinely been saved in an environment that they've held to the sinner's prayer. You know, it's come forward and repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, mm-hmm. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. I trust that you have forgiven me, that your work on the cross is enough. None of that is bad on its own. Mm-hmm. But I do think there are times when you stir up the emotion first, and then there's this manipulation to say, man, if you feel it right now, come forward, pray this prayer. And if you did that, congratulations. And I just think sometimes we let people off the hook. And this is kind of my big point to this. The goal of the church is not to create converts. It is to create disciples. Mm. And so...
Say that again.
the goal of the church is not to create converts. It's to create disciples.
Yeah, that's so good.
Because converts is what happens when we see you, you raised your hand, or you're going to come forward to the altar and pray. We're never going to follow up with you again. Good luck as you live this life, but we get to tally you on our metric sheet so that we look good. It's garbage. Mm-hmm. Like, the goal of the church is to walk alongside these fellow believers who are in infancy in their faith. let's walk this journey out together. Let's hold each other accountable. Let's encourage each other. And we're going to help us live in more obedience to Christ as we go. The problem is, and I think Finney's model has a lot to do with this, the goal has then shifted to, well, we just need people saved. Yes, yes, we certainly want that. And I'm not trying to downplay that.
No.
But that is not the end goal. The end goal is a life well lived in a disciple relationship with Christ. Like, that is the goal of the church, to spur one another on. And so many times we stop with making converts. Let's get them in, get them saved, and then on to the next one. It's like, no, we're missing this journey that we're on. And honestly, it does those people a disservice, because they'll think, wow, well, I got baptized. I really don't have to change the way I live. I can go back to the life I had, but now I know I'm good. And now the question is, like, what are we preaching to people that they are being saved from? Are you being saved from hell, or are you being saved from your sins? Like, those are two very different things, because one is a byproduct of the other. But I want people to understand they're a sinner. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to believe in Christ simply because he's their ticket out of hell. I want them to realize, man, I have fallen away. That Cafe Du Monde, yeah, getting in it. I've fallen away by my own choosing and my own sin from my Creator, and I want to be restored to a right relationship with him. And the way I do that is through his son, through his broken body. And so I'm going to live in obedience to him now. And the byproduct of that is I'm not bound for hell. I'm going to live in heaven with him forever, or the new heavens and new earth when he comes back. But I'm going to be with him forever. I want that to be the motivation, not, well, this is my ticket out of hell.
Yeah. And for me to kind of go on a different side of this, altar call, sinner's prayer, electric guitars and drums in worship, the brand of juice we use in communion, or if we use juice or wine, do we have donuts or not? Some of these things, it's just like, well, this is what we've done. Why would we change that?
Yeah.
Something not being prescribed in the Bible doesn't mean it's wrong or bad.
Right.
Altar calls are not wrong, but they're also not demanded.
Right.
And so there are times to use that as a tool that we have.
Yep.
There are times that we don't.
Yep.
And neither is correct or wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we want to give people the invitation to respond to Christ.
Absolutely.
But does that always look like coming forward? I think my problem with it is it's essentially saying God can't save you in your seat. You know, yeah. God can't save you in the parking lot walking out to your car. God can't save you at home when you're contemplating what's been said and you're working through the scriptures to validate it.
Like, right.
No, God can do what God's going to do,
yeah,
because he is God. And I just think we've kind of taken it and said, no, the only way he can work is if you respond in this emotion-driven moment. That's where God is going to be active. It's just putting God in a box that really dumbs down the power that he possesses.
Well, one of the scriptures that people will cite with it is, you know, after Peter preaches at Pentecost,
yep,
you know, the people needed to respond.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, but they requested okay, how do we respond? Yeah, what do we do now?
Yep.
And the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, that wasn't after preaching. That was a conversation.
Yep.
That was a discipleship conversation, Bible study, if you will,
yeah,
that they're going through, and then the Ethiopian eunuch just says, okay, well, there's water. Why should I wait?
Yep.
I'll just get baptized now.
Yeah.
It wasn't you sit there. Can we build a stage real quick so I can get up there and preach yeah, to you? It was just a conversation. And those, we can't limit where God will prick someone's heart.
Yeah.
And speak to them in a way to where they're saying, I want to make that step.
Yep.
I want to take that final step and follow him.
Yep.
So yep. It's not that it's right or wrong. The things that are prescribed in the Bible for our worship, songs, spiritual hymns, you know, to God, preaching of the word, mm-hmm, fellowship, serving one another, giving. Those are the things that
non-negotiables.
When we begin to neglect those,
yep,
you need to have a conversation with us.
Yeah.
A serious one. When it's things that are outside of that, absolutely, you can have a conversation with us. Yeah. But it's, there's going to be reasons, and change is okay. Can be good at times. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, I hope this helps bring some clarity to that. I think it's a great question, and I appreciate that. So it's just a reminder, and the power to change a heart is not in a service. It's not in a song. It's not in the words that a man speaks. It's in the power of the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so above all else, we're going to submit to that. We're going to trust in that he is in the business of changing hearts, and he's going to do what he's going to do.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us for this episode of the Since You Asked podcast, episode number 15.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a great 15 episodes. Here's to 15 more.
That's right.
And here's to better coffee next time.
We'll do our best.
But as always, great questions. If you have any questions you'd like for us to tackle in a future episode, you can reach out to us at question at redbrushcc.org. We would love to take that question on in a future episode. If you have a coffee recommendation, of course, we would love to take that as well. And make sure you like this video, subscribe, leave us a rate, review on podcast app of your choice, whatever it is. That really helps get the word out, let people know that this has been beneficial for you. Share it on your social media, all that good stuff. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell an enemy about the podcast.
Tell them all.
Tell them all. But for Ben, I've been Alex, and it's been great having this conversation with you. We'll see you next time.